tonight, let's lift our hands before the Lord toward our young people here and our teachers. Father, thank you for the blessing of the Lord. And Lord, as we commit each one into your hands, Lord, we're believing in the faithfulness of God. In this hour, in this day, Lord God, that we live in, and the onslaught of wickedness and evil and sin, so great, so mighty, that, Lord God, that it can be overwhelming. And but yet, Lord God, our eyes are on you, and we're calling on the name of the Lord. And we thank you that everything that we commit to you, Lord God, you will keep. And so we pray and we ask right now that all these young lives and their futures and their good and their well-being be kept by the hand of the Lord. And Lord, bless our teachers here, Father God, that do so much for us. Lord God, release upon them, O Lord God, your greatness of goodness and glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right, praise the name of the Lord. Okay, we're going to get down to business here. I've got a lot to share. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 as we go forward here. Now, this is the second part of, I started this last week. It's called the spiritual authority of the believer. And this is, you might say, the second part of it. If I had a subtitle, the subtitle would be spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding. And what I want to tie together, what the Lord just put on my heart right here, is how that faith and the Holy Spirit and power, how they come together. How faith and the Holy Spirit and power come together. Trying to tell you what to do or anything like that, but I think this is truly a take-note message that I've got on my heart. And I also want to really encourage you, right? You have a book, a prayer book, you know, a notebook, you know, that you use with the Lord, and, you know, you seek the Lord, God speaks to you, you write those type of things down. I just want to encourage you in that, and however you want to do it or do it, but that's a real tool to be used. And let's receive what the Lord has for us here this morning. I'm going to begin by looking at this. I want you to see here, I'm going to start with Ephesians here in chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first part of 18, which says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Now, that particular word for enlightened is photozo. The Greek word is photozo, and this is what it means. It means to give light or to illuminate, to give light or to illuminate. So you understand that he's praying under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We know this is the word of the Lord. So what I want you to hear about this is I want you to see that this is the will of God for you, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of the ways that we're established in victory, is because the Holy Spirit gives us spiritual understanding, where we'll be able to see in the realm of the Spirit and the kingdom of God that we've received in Jesus so that we can walk in that kingdom. If not so, then what happens to us is we're ruled by our intellectual understanding and by our five senses. And when we're ruled by our intellectual understanding and by our five senses, it's very difficult to proclaim or to claim or believe upon the things that God has given us in the kingdom of God. And so what a very important thing for us to be able to receive in the Lord Jesus Christ is for the spiritual understanding or having the eyes of our heart to be enlightened. Obviously, this is a spiritual in nature, because he's not talking about your natural eyes right here. But he is talking about you being enlightened in the Lord and you being able to see things that come by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want to go on in there. I'm going to come back up here. I'll read more there in a minute. But verse 17 says this, and it kind of reads into it. Do not cease. He's talking about his praying and he's seeking God for them. He says, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. That's verse 16. Here's 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of God. So you see that this is what is being prayed for these saints of Almighty God. So what I want you to hear is that this is the walk of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit is seeking to do in the life of every single believer. You know, it's not simply, like, oh, I wish I could see visions or have visionary understanding or revelations from the Lord. Well, what I want you to know that it belongs to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God enables you to stand against all odds. This is the root and the foundation of those that become true intercessors in the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. Because intercessors are standing in the gap. It's the will of God that everybody in here be an intercessor. I know we have in church, you know, we call that, those are our intercessors, and that's fine. That's just fine. But don't make the mistake that passes you by and that you do not have a spiritual or biblical obligation to intercede, because you do. You know, you're called to intercede, okay, in the Lord, and to believe God for things. And what we need and what we must have to be able to do that and to stay encouraged in our faith before the Lord is visionary understanding. Visionary understanding. Now, let me go on and look at this. Now, let me read that again so that you can kind of get that in your heart in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. So obviously, there's an impartation of the glory of the Lord in the midst of this, may give to you, and you can put your name right there if you want to, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in what? In the knowledge of Him. It goes on back in verse 18, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And look what happens when our hearts are enlightened. Look at this. And what is, he goes on in verse 18 and he says, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know, I'm going to paraphrase that. Basically, you begin to find the revelation of what God will do. And it becomes alive to you and real. Now, you've already received that in your life if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, well, Pastor, what do you mean? You know, I don't really have any of that going on in my life. Oh, you do. You just may not recognize it fully for what it is. Is Jesus real to you? When you got saved, if you got saved and you're in the kingdom of God, then Jesus has come alive, right? He's come alive. You know, that is the revelation that we're talking about. There's a reality that is imparted to the believer. The eyes of your heart. And he wants it to be much, much more than just simply that, you know, Jesus is alive to me and he's real to me, you know. It's not just a concept or a doctrine. You know, he's come into my life. You know, and then that's when we say, I know him. You know, and people find that very curious, don't they? Like, what do you mean? You mean you know about him? No. I don't just know about him. I know him, right? You know, and that is that work of spiritual understanding. But it's not to stop there. It's to be a part of your everyday life and your everyday walk in the Lord. Now, I have to insert something there that's very important to understand. You know, who receives this are the people that are willing to seek Him. You know, I just want to say that just openly to you, that you must be one who seeks the Lord. If you seek the Lord, then you're going to find everything that we've just read right there in your life and unfolding. And it will not only unfold in your life, but it'll unfold in a greater degree. In a greater degree as you follow it and walk in it in the Lord. Now, and I'm going to stop there. I'm not going to explain all those things right there. You can mark that. Turn a few pages, right? You know, and I want you to go over to Colossians. I just want you to see this. Colossians, you got Ephesians, you know, and then you got Philippians, and here we are in Colossians. Now, I want you to see, normalizing this spiritual understanding that belongs to you in Jesus. Now, here is in Colossians chapter 1, and it says right here, and let me read verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, talking about their faith and their faithfulness to God, we have not ceased to pray. They sure do a lot of praying, don't they? We have not ceased to pray for you. What are they asking? They're praying, and what are they asking? And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. Oh, okay. That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's what they're praying for. How do they receive the knowledge of His will? How do they receive it? Well, let's go on from there. Be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Right now, so you understand that the will of God then becomes alive. You know, like we talked about just a minute ago when you said, no, I know Him. You know, He's been made known to me. He's revealed it to me. You know, we're talking about that the will of God. Now, it's not just simply the will of God for you, but it's the will of God in the earth. It's the will of God in the kingdom. You know, the will of God, that, for example, that the will of God is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. That this becomes a spiritual understanding to where the Holy Spirit imparts it to you. And as He imparts it, this empowers your faith to be able to believe things that God has accomplished and that He will accomplish and has been sealed in His holy blood, even though outwardly and visually, you don't see any evidence of it. When Christians are ruled by their five senses, they do not get very far in their faith, because the only thing that they can really believe God for is the things that they see, or even the things that they perceive, which may not even be really correct in the first place. But they feel it, you know? We feel it, you know, and so that's what happens when it comes to our senses. So if it looks like that there's just no hope, or there's no way that that could ever come about, then that Christian cannot believe God for what God has promised and sealed through the blood of Jesus. And the reason they can't is because they have no visionary understanding. Are you with me there? You know, and this is not something that I produce. It's something that the Holy Spirit imparts. He imparts it to us. He gives us visionary understanding. Let me read that again, and how that they're able to know what the will of God is. You notice that word know or knowledge that's twice now been used, right? There in Ephesians 1, know and knowledge. So the Holy Spirit wants to give you, you know, so you may know, just like you say, I know Jesus. Well, I mean, you know about it. No, I know Jesus. You know, no, I know God's going to move in this. No, I know God will fulfill His good word. I know that He's going to move on the city of Owensboro. I know that He's going to pour out His Spirit. I know that the walls of unbelief and darkness of sin, I know they're going to be broken. This is what spiritual understanding is all about. And so that we may be what God's called us to be. And in the midst of that, He gives us personal vision as well. Now, just real quick look over here. This is in Colossians chapter 2. And I want you to see what I'm doing right now. I want you to see, I want to normalize in your heart and in your mind the promise of God to give you, the believer, spiritual understanding, that He'll impart to you spiritual understanding. Now, this is now in the second chapter, and I want you to look with me at verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraging. He's talking about all of them together as they're following and seeking the Lord, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Now look at this. and attaining to all of the wealth, NIV, I think uses riches, and attaining, now look at this very carefully, attaining to all of the wealth or riches. Well, now, how is this spiritual wealth and riches coming? How's this spiritual wealth and riches coming? That comes, everybody say that comes. That comes from the full assurance of understanding. Oh, you mean there's something imparted with a full assurance that comes by understanding. And what does it result in? Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery that is Christ Himself. So in the power of the Holy Spirit, you begin to see by spiritual understanding victories that have been accomplished, but they must be laid hold of by you, the believer. Are you with me there? You know, we keep sitting around waiting for God to do something, and I'll be honest with you, it is finished, and God is waiting for us to do something, you know. And I'm not just talking about go out and work, right? You know, I'm not talking about that, just that by itself, go out and work. I'm talking about before the throne of God. Because this is where mountains are moved. They're moved before the throne of God. They're moved in the realm of the Spirit. And in the realm of the Spirit, the things in the natural have to give way to the purpose and victory and glory and will of God. For example, it's the will of God that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, right? It's not the will of God that darkness rule. We must challenge the works of darkness. It's up to us. The victory of Jesus has been imparted to the life of the believer. And as we walk in that victory of the Lord, then we stand, as remember I mentioned it last Sunday, as ambassadors, you know, as ambassadors of the Lord. And we're standing in that ambassadorship before the Lord. And we enter into a spiritual warfare on behalf of God, on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, on behalf of the kingdom of God. And we become warriors in the realm of the Spirit. And then things begin to happen. Because the evil one is nothing more than an illegal trespasser. He does not have the power. He does not have the victory. But we're the ones that are tied to the earth. That's why we're in the Spirit. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? You know, I'm in this physical body right here. That is a part of my old man. The old man Adam, that gives me a certain element of authority in this earth. Are you with me there? That's why you're in the body, because you have a certain element of authority here, because you are of the earth, but you're not of the world. You're in the kingdom of God. So you stand in this territory that Jesus has accomplished the victory, and the victory and the treasure of the Lord is the souls of men. And we're to be His representatives. Now, okay, so let me give you a couple other things so you see about this, you know, visionary understanding of the eyes of your heart. You know, let me give you a couple of things. Here, just listen to this. This is 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, that's really quite an amazing statement right there, don't you think? You know, so what we look at before the Lord is that we look, that word look is skopeo, the Greek word, S-K-O-P-E-O, accent on that O. Now listen what it means. It means to look at, observe, contemplate, keep your eye upon. How about that one, right? You know, so, you know, this is how spiritual warfare is accomplished in the earth. This is how a church becomes victorious in the Lord. Remember, I said this last week, that we do the work, He provides the power, right? We do the work. If we won't do the work, then we'll not find the power. All right? We keep waiting on God. God is waiting on His church. All right. Now, let me give you another one there. This is interesting. This comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It says, now listen to this one carefully. I love this. It says, but we do see Him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus. That is pretty good, isn't it? But we do see Him. You know, so are you hearing all of these scriptures? Then you can see that very, very clearly, you know, that the normal Christian life and walk is walked after the way of the Spirit, not after the way of the flesh. It's not just adding Jesus in your life and being a better person and staying in your carnal mind. You know, the Lord wants to cause us to walk after the Spirit. He will do the work if you will believe Him for it. If you open up your heart to Him and you want to be a man or a woman, a believer of the Spirit, He'll make you a man or a woman or a believer of the Spirit. He'll give you visionary understanding. He'll bring that revelation. He'll bring that light and that enlightenment that causes that truth to come alive in your heart. And then you step in to being the warrior of the Lord Jesus Christ in the realm of the Spirit. This is when miracles come. This is when the Spirit of the Lord moves on behalf of those that are believing before the throne. Well, praise the name of the Lord. All right. You know, so let me take that on in another realm right here. And I want to answer just a few questions right here. You know, how does vision or spiritual understanding or revelation, you know, how is this obtained? How is it obtained? And I want to answer that question. All right. Number one is that it starts with faith. It starts with faith. It becomes a people that are willing to believe God. And if you remember, what is the fundamental practice of faith? You know, it's not just a concept. It's not just simply a doctrine. And listen carefully, because this is so important to you. You know, the definition of faith, you know, faith is an expectation or anticipation before the Lord. If you are in a state of faith in your heart and your mind, then what you have as evidence of that is you have an expectation before the Lord. All right? You know, that is a fundamental, practical application of faith in the life of the believer. It's important that we come out of biblical doctrine into a fundamental practice of what faith really is. So many hold to a faith that more is of an intellectual doctrinal position than they do really have of a fundamental practice. Do you have a fundamental practice? There's a lot of believers that don't even know they should or even how to have a fundamental practice of faith. They're just told to have faith. And I have argued with God many times in the past. All right, Lord, you know, I'm to have faith and believe You. But somebody tell me how. Well, this is how. It is an expectation or an anticipation before the Lord. And the foundation is on who God is, and also the encouragement of the covenant word of Almighty God, you know, that we're believing upon the Lord. You know, and so this is at the root and foundation. What are the two parts to faith? What are the two fundamental parts to faith? Number one is that you believe in your heart. What's it mean to believe in your heart? It means that you give your heart to whatever it would be. You give your heart to be found in believing God, in the promise of God. It's not an intellect. It doesn't say that you believe God in your mind or your intellect. Says believe Him in your heart, right? So you give your heart to the promise of God, the word of God, what it would be of believing God. What's the second part of the fundamental practice of faith? Confession. Confession. You have to speak it. You have to speak forth and proclaim. You're proclaiming, you're receiving the promise of Almighty God. All right, now, so we could say more there, and I'm not going to, but that's the starting point. And this is how the Holy Spirit begins to maneuver in the life of the believer to bring about spiritual understanding, and that the eyes of your heart would see things in the realm of the Spirit that your natural eyes and natural man can never obtain. Okay? Without this being the foundation, this faith being the foundation, there's no way that spiritual understanding can maneuver in your life. You need to understand that. You need to understand that spiritual understanding is not going to drop out of the sky and fall on top of you. It's found by walking in a fundamental attitude and activity. And that fundamental attitude and activity is the way of faith. All right, now, so let's go to another one. All right, now, you know, that we're answering the question, how is this obtained? How does this come about? Now, I want to say something else in that, and that is that, you know, that when it comes and it increases as you go on in the Lord. It comes and then it increases. And I don't believe there's an end to its increase. There's no end to its increase. It's just fine-tuned. Okay, in the Spirit of God. All right, now, so it starts by faith. That's the fundamental foundation. Now, here's number two, you know, about how do you obtain this? It comes by the way of the Spirit. And this is the next major point right here. It comes by the way of the Spirit. And I want to say something here. I'm going to give this to you. You know it well, but in Acts 1:8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." That word receive, you understand that's your part right there. You have to receive it. You have to receive. All right, now let me give you that word. That Greek word is lambano, L-A-M-B-A-N-O, accent on the O. This is what it means, the word receive. It means to take, accept, to grip, to seize upon, right? You know, this is a proactive stance. This is a proactive stance that one is taking right here. And then also, and you know this very well, but you shall receive power. The word power is the Greek word dunamis. And you know that, D-U-N-A-M-I-S. And that word means power, might, strength. It means the realm of the miraculous. It means ability. I love this, to be able, right? You know, so do you see that this comes by the power of the Holy Spirit? Now, I want to bring in a point into this power of the Holy Spirit that is very important for us to understand. You know, because it says that you're going to receive. You know, that's a faith action that it's making reference to. This is a faith action that it is making reference to right here. So here's the point in the midst of this. In receiving of the Holy Spirit in power, this is a recognition of the Holy Spirit over you. We talk about being led by the Spirit, but what does that imply for as many as, you know, maybe the children of God, these are the sons of God, those that are being led by the Spirit of God? That is in Romans chapter 8. You know, so do you understand that it's a recognition? So if you're being led, then you're giving him control. Do you understand that? Okay, if I got somebody that's leading me, then I'm, what am I doing? I'm following, right? You know, I'm not leading him, he's leading me. And if he's leading me, then he must be the leader. Right? That's not a far stretch, is it? He must be the leader. Now, I want you to see this. So you understand there's an acknowledgement of the Holy Spirit in the midst of that over you. Now, this is where power is begin to be released in the heart and the life of the believer. All right? You know, in recognition, in acknowledgement, here's another word, in submission and to be led. You know, so it's not like be led when I want to be led and then I'll do the rest of it. No, it is in recognition and in submission to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into the fullness of Jesus. Are you with me? A lot of people, they want the power of the Holy Spirit, but they don't really want the Holy Spirit to really reign over them. And there's such hindrances to the Holy Spirit of God and receiving that power because they only want the power in certain ways. They're bargaining with God, and there's conditions, and they're not submitting wholeheartedly to the Holy Spirit Himself. This is the missing element in the walk of faith for many. This is the missing element for many in the walk of faith, of letting go and giving it to God, giving it the Holy Spirit. Now, that is even in obedience to God in all things, all right? It's an obedience. Now, I'm going to move on from that, and I want to talk about this, the four purpose of power, the four purposes of power that the Holy Spirit brings. Now, I'm going to name them. Here's number one. Number one is to obtain personal victory. Okay? Now, I want you to hear that because you know what number four is going to be? Number four is going to be that you may serve Him in His will. And that's where anointings come from. That's where gifts of the Holy Spirit come from and the like. Are you with me, right? You know, He equips you. That's a lot of times when we talk about power, most of us in the church have been taught, well, we're talking about anointing or we're talking about gifts or we're talking about miracles. That certainly all applies. But now listen, the first work of power of the Holy Spirit is to bring into your life the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wrote myself a little note right here, you know, that the power of the Holy Spirit is not for simply for great ministry. It's not for great gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's first and it's foremost to obtain the victory of the Lord. You know, without godly character being brought about into our lives, then whatever power, ministry, or gifts end up being soured because of the lack of character. And then what happens to all of that, you know, is it becomes a mess, right? We've seen plenty of messes in the church, haven't we? All right, so number one is to obtain personal victory. You know, so as you submit in your faith to the Holy Spirit, right, and give Him recognition over you, then the next thing that happens is the Spirit of God begins to manifest Jesus. And as He manifests Jesus, you begin to find things happening to you. It's called victory. Now, that's even in things where, you know, things are not under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Don't run from them or hide from them or excuse them or pretend they're not there. Deal with them head on. You know, I got an attitude problem, right? Come before the Lord and give it to the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you right now, He'll transform your attitude problem. All right, there's number two. Number two is that you may know Him, right? You may know Him. He wants you to have victory, but I want to tell you, you know, the bottom line here of our walk with the Lord is so that we may know Him. Oh, what a glory it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't mean just simply be saved. I'm talking about the wealth. It talked about wealth and riches, right? The wealth and riches of being in Jesus and the sweetness of fellowship to having Him. All right, that's number two. Number three, that you may be made like Him. Okay? You know, power, that you may be made like Him. And then number four again, that you may serve in His will. All right? Now let me just cover this real quick just for a minute here and what I want to answer in the midst of this. So this is so important that you understand that this is the foundation of spiritual understanding. And the Holy Spirit brings you into this realm of the Spirit, and He brings these things first and foremost. It's not simply gifts. It's not just miracles, you know, but it runs deeper than that first. That's the purpose of God. Here it is. What is it like to have holy character? Another way to put that would be, you know, holy character. Listen, holy character is Christ-like character. Holy character is Christ-like character. All right, let me say it another way. Christ-like character is Christian character. Are you hearing me? It's Christian character. You know, John Wesley, I want to give you, not a direct quote, but the things I've read, you know, about the work of holiness. And many other writers have wrote this. I wrote it in my own words, but here it is. How do you describe that? How do you describe that Christ-like character? Here it is. It's like a beautiful, bright, sunshine day experienced in the soul. It's where the sky is blue, the sun is bright, and it's beautiful in the soul. That's a description. It's hard to put these things in word. But Christ-likeness, this is, you know, what it's like. It's a song of joy flowing like a river in the inner man. And I made myself a little side note. It's happiness for no reason at all. How about that? Boy, just to have happiness in your life, and there's no reason at all. Now, here we go. It removes the dark clouds of the soul. It removes the dark clouds of the soul. Moods and mannerisms and attitudes and emotions. It removes the sourness. It removes sternness. And the end result is that love rules over all. Love rules over all. And then there's something else that comes as a manifestation, and it's called the tenderheartedness of God. The tenderheartedness of God. This is what the Holy Spirit does, because this is His first manifestation and work that He seeks to bring. I had this spoken to me, so I'm going to just read it to you, and I'm going to talk about there's two elements that have an opposite effect. There's two elements that have an opposite effect. Pride is a great humbler. It will humiliate you in your Christian walk. And then the other one is humility. Humility is a great exalter. It will lift you up in all things and in all ways in Christ. Humility is your friend. Humility has been given to you in the Lord. It's something that I think that's not looked at enough by Christians or practiced really enough by Christians, but humility is a great blessing for the life of the believer. Now, I'm going to close all this here in this, all right? You know, now, let me give this to you. The divine effects upon the soul with Christ-like character, all right? I'm going to give you five of them. The divine, here we are, the divine effects upon the soul with Christ-like character. Number one is divine energy, all right? Number one is divine energy. What do you mean by divine energy? Divine energy is an excitement of a godly nature, all right? Divine energy is an excitement of a godly nature. It's having a heart for or a heart after. It has to do with spiritual hunger. It's a mentality and attitude is that I want to hear, I want to know, and I want to learn, right? You know, this is divine energy that comes. That's number one, number one. Here's number two. Number two is zeal. Zeal, divine effects upon the soul with Christ-like character. Zeal. What do you mean by zeal? This is a go after God attitude. This is a go after God attitude. You know, it involves a love of repentance, right? You know, it revolves a love of repentance. You know, you love to repent because you love to draw nearer to God. You know, it's a love for the truth. You can't get enough of it. You hunger for it. You thirst for it. Do you have a hunger for thirst? If you're not hungry for the things of God, I have a question for you. What's holding you back? Because that's not what should be flowing in your heart. Right? There should be thirst, hunger, that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? You know, you get things right with God, and then your attentions are given to the right things instead of the wrong things. It's given to the things of the Spirit and the kingdom and not the things of the world, right? This is what the Holy Spirit does. And in the midst of that, what is He doing? He's bringing about the enlightenment of the eyes of your heart with spiritual understanding. seen deeper and deeper. Here's number three. I'm just about done. Here's number three. Number three is divine courage. All right? Divine courage. Wow. You know, that's an amazing thing, to have divine courage. It comes from the Holy Spirit. That's where you want to be a pleaser of God more than you want to be a pleaser of men. Do you understand that wanting acceptance with man is a great hindrance to many, many Christians? Right? Do you understand that? You know, I don't want to be persecuted, or you know, I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to be ostracized. I just want to fit in. It's very hard to live for Jesus if you have the fear of man that rules your heart more than the fear of God, right? It's the fear of God. That doesn't mean that you're correcting everybody all the time. No, you're walking in love, and you're walking in compassion. You're walking in tenderness of heart, and you have understanding. You remember when you were lost, right? You remember when, you know, you weren't really that obedient, right? Or whatever it is. You remember all that. So you don't have judgments. You have compassion. You're not having judgments. You have compassion and understanding. Now, when God says it's time to speak up, then you speak up, but you do it in the right spirit, right? Right? You're not telling people off, right? You know, if your correction of spiritual things is telling people off, you might as well just keep it to yourself, right? Because you didn't do very much good. You didn't do very much good. You know. But so that's what we're talking about. This is the divine courage where you don't have the, you know, you're not looking for the approval of men. You want the approval of God. Divine courage. Here's number three. I mean, that was number three. Divine courage. This is the divine effects of the soul with Christ-like character. Number four is unction or anointing, as we call it. Same thing, you know, by the Holy Spirit. This is when the Holy Spirit begins to bring supernatural equipping into your life, to where you may serve Him in the kingdom of God, how He wants you to serve Him in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. No. This is when spiritual gifts, this is when the miraculous and the supernatural happens, and it comes out in a right spirit, and it comes out in a good spirit. And that's what the Lord wants to have happen. Now here's the last one, number five, and that is fire. Fire. You know, this is the fire of God. The fire of God. The holy fire of God that burns. It's a supernatural spiritual burning. It's a supernatural spiritual burning in the heart with, listen, holy strength. With holy strength. Holy strength that overcomes. This is the character of it, of this fire, that overcomes, endures, seeks, and stands. You know what the end result is? Victory is made manifest. Isn't that glorious? Victory. Let me just summarize them real quick. You know, divine effects upon the soul with Christ-like character. Number one, divine energy. Number two is zeal. Number three is divine courage. Number four is unction and anointing. And then number five, fire! Glory to God. Kathy, why don't you all come on up? Now, what's happening right now in the power of the Holy Spirit is that upgrades